pulls up on the passenger side where my instructor is, puts the window down, and shouts at my instructor and says, "Teach him to drive." And my instructor kind of sheepishly just went, "I am." Welcome to the 11th Cream Podcast. Again, we keep going with this thing.
Week in, week out.
Just week in, week out. We keep making podcasts. But every week, we ask the question to all three of us, do cars rule everything around us, Krios, or do they ruin everything around us? Edwin.
Krios. I am this week in rule. Again. Nothing's gone bad. Is this. if you're watching the podcast with your eyes, you are seeing what appears to be what's left of a transmission, a gearbox, and your eyes do not deceive you. I talked about this last episode that we'd taken it apart. This is now furniture, which should explain to you that it's all hope is lost on this gearbox. It's great. I think this is a great bit of podcast furniture. I'm quite happy with it. So, but yeah, overall, nothing's gone.
Nothing else.
There is something that is bad. I've done 2 full tanks in the Merc, the C55 AMG now, and I've zeroed my trip computer each time. And the figure that I got from a full tank of petrol, which is between 65 and 70 pounds to fill to the brim, is 240 miles.
It's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
Or 70 pounds of fuel.
It's not a lot.
It's lucky that I have the shortest commute to the unit. I'm about half an hour away, but I'm lucky if it lasts me all week.
Yeah.
That's not great.
It's not so good.
So my thought is to put the supercharged E55 engine in it.
That does make sense.
Which would make it worse.
Is that the reason?
What?
Huh? Is that because there is...
There's another reason.
Fuel economy is not at the top of your worry list.
Every 240 miles, I'm adding a full tank of petrol.
Plung.
And about every 240 miles, I'm adding a litre of oil. Now,
that's normal, right?
Yeah, Mercs are known for that, burning oil.
Mm, just add oil.
So yeah, no, it's burning oil. I'm genuinely, I think it would make a good TDC main video, buying either a crashed or just a cheap E55, swapping everything over and having a supercharged 650-odd horsepower, because a couple upgrades, you can make that E55 engine make 600-plus horsepower for within a grand in the little C-class of that generation shape. That'd be cool. It'd be quite fun.
Fuel economy would...
It would take another hit.
Yeah.
We'd be... I'd be looking going, how did this happen to me?
So I started with bad fuel economy.
I'm
now thousands of pounds deep and I have the same
fuel economy. I've got a 5.5-litre V8 and all I've done is replaced it with a 5.5-litre V8 that's supercharged.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Strange.
So yeah, but I'm still rule. It's still... Everything's okay. And you?
I'm rule. Again.
Again?
It's so nice being rule. So very nice. Again, it's not a hard and fast rule. There are things under the surface.
Yeah.
My Range Rover runs out MOT tomorrow.
That's great.
It needs 3 or 4 things doing that I know that it will fail on.
And you haven't booked an MOT.
I haven't done them or booked an MOT.
Nice.
So,
but you are getting it remapped.
As I speak.
Unidentified. So but just before this podcast started, Rory, who works in the unit kind of adjacent to us on Auto Alex, popped his head in and said, there's a guy doing a remap on my Range Rover right now. Mm. Do you want him to do a remap to your car for £100, which is suspiciously cheap?
Yep.
He'll do it right now. And you said yes.
Yeah, why not?
No, you don't even know what the guy's name is.
I don't know. I don't know what he looks
You don't
like.
Know the guy's business, before, so if he's even an actual man.
Nope.
Just you're
It
paying,
could just be Rory.
You're just paying a man £100 to do something to your car?
To plug into my car.
Crazy. So
I thought, why not?
Tune in next week when Will's in ruin, when he's broken.
No MOT, no problem.
More power and more MPG.
But that's what he sold it to me. He said 2 or 3 MPG more. So I'll test that on my way home.
That is...
At 90. See how fast I get to 90.
Kilometers an hour.
No, 90.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 90.
On the rolling road he's got clearly in a van outside. Benjamin, he's behind the camera.
I'm back.
What is it? Rule or ruin?
Nothing's happened.
Well, other than a discovery in your car, which will be in a video quite soon. I mean, we can't talk too much about it, but we had all of our cars forensically tested. And Ben, his new X5, which is owned by Will, had something quite dire inside of it. And
all you need to know
is that it's not mine.
is that it's a sock.
It was Ben's and it's a sock.
But it was not, it's a sock that hasn't been used for what socks are usually for.
Yeah, hasn't had a foot in it.
That's weird.
Hasn't had a foot in it.
It's had a lot of other stuff in it though. Yeah.
It's had about half a foot in it.
It's not my sock, man. I said this in the video. It's not.
It was Ben's sock.
Well, anyway, aside from that, I have nothing's happened with my cars, but I actually have some new, it's a decision.
Oh.
So I was talking to you guys earlier. I might.
Ben's quitting.
I'm looking at the minute, potentially getting my own little flat, moving out.
Boring.
But that's not because of boring. That might mean I might have to temporarily get rid of having two cars.
Ooh.
So it could be going, it could be ruined.
So you're selling the X5 and keeping the Clio,
I would
right?
like to, but also...
Which one had the sock in it again?
Well, your sock, the well, X5.
The other sock on the other foot must be in the Clio.
The Clio.
Not my foot, actually. yeah, so that's my... It's sort of a ruin, because if I do that, then I probably for a bit would have to have...
So you're going to have a lot of people DMing you now saying,
yeah, I don't.
Speaking of your DMs, can we catch up on what your DMs are from the other week?
So I wasn't here last week, week before when we were away. Haven't ever seen Tokyo Drift, and I got told to be abused by people in my DMs if that happened. So we got a few.
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I also just want to drop in here. Ben also hasn't seen Too Fast, Too Furious. So if you could go in and abuse Ben on his Instagram, benjab.rog, just go ahead and do that.
First one? You seen the first one?
I've seen the 10th one.
That's it.
Oh, sorry. So he hasn't seen, you haven't even seen the first, you don't.
The buster didn't bring him back.
That's a.
I saw the.
So when someone says, what's the retail one of those? You don't fully understand that.
No. Me and Ethan from All The Gear, formerly Car Throttle, went to watch the most recent one, like an early screening. So we got invited there. Edwin and Jack didn't want to go.
Correct.
Me and Ethan, I love it. Evening together and went and watched it, but I've not seen a single one. I've only seen that one.
Have you seen Hurricane Heist?
Oh, so the same thing that happened when a Car Throttle, wasn't it?
It was Car Throttle.
Also, what company is that? I've never heard of that before. Yeah. We got invited to go and watch a movie called Hurricane Heist, which is directed, is Justin Lin.
It's like the same people who do like Fast and
the
Furious.
The font is Fast and Furious.
Yes, it's the same.
And
but it's not linked.
Oh God, that was a tough watch.
Real tough movie.
The only thing I can remember, which is stellar acting, is someone comes in and says, you know, we're on your side. And he goes, in this exact intonation, you can trust us, we the police. And we're like laughed, and everyone else in this movie theater was like, that's good writing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. Also, so general premise is that there are no cars in it, not related to cars. There is a hurricane about to happen. Everyone needs to leave town.
Not just that, though. There's a heist.
There is a heist happening. So in the midst of this hurricane, everyone has to get out. So they have decided, I really can't remember the ins and outs, the details of it.
But
they've decided that in the middle of that hurricane would be a great idea to then do a heist.
Yeah.
A
tsunami at one point.
Was it?
God, I can't remember.
Was that 2012?
But Ben, can we... Sorry, so little tangent.
Just looking now. I won't say people's names. I don't know. I can't.
No, remember. Out them.
Out them, mate.
No, speaking of,
we have someone to out.
Another tangent.
We do.
You know, you can't remember the actual thing, but we'll get to it in a minute.
We've got someone saying, listening to a new podcast and they are right. You need to watch Tokyo Drift.
Correct. Nice. Sorry, can I get... There was a screenshot that you put in our chat.
We'll get to that one. That's probably the worst one. Okay. So we'll get to that one. Can't believe you've never watched Tokyo Drift, man. I feel bad. That's almost like they're
disappointed.
That's when your parents go, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Come on.
Can't believe it, man.
Can we get the fight?
Hang on, I've got It's About Family.
Very nice. Yeah, it is.
Tokyo Drift
will change your life. Come on.
Up to Tokyo Drift.
Someone just said, why? I assume that is reference to that, and I can't find anyone, but...
Or it's just someone's come across your Instagram page. Why?
Why is there a photo of this beach on here?
Someone said, listen here, you little dickhead. First of all, suck your mum. Secondly, watch Tokyo Drift still.
Very nice. Very English. Very nice.
But there was a kiss at the end.
It was a kiss. I think it was like a jokey one, but also...
He means it in jest.
A jokey kiss.
What's the abuse this week to me?
What?
What about what? What was it?
About Too Fast, Too Furious and the original Fast and Furious.
Head to my DMs, benjam.rog on Instagram and leave me some abuse.
Ben's just inciting it himself.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what? Now that he wants it, don't do it.
When they're at your door, at your gate.
Leave him no comments
this
week.
I actually did quite enjoy reading the abuse. It's quite funny.
Well, there you go.
Can someone actually, let's not leave Ben abuse. Let's be nice. Can we give him some reasons to watch? Maybe give him a little breakdown of each movie.
How about this? Can we just get a couple quotes? Because then Ben can read them out without ever having
listened
to it.
Okay, that's a good shout,
Just give him a couple, either first Fast and Furious or Too Fast, Too Furious. Yeah. And Ben, keep your blouse on. Yep. please, can you read?
It's nothing to me.
You got sent. So we told a story. I know. Yeah. But we got, I told a story a few weeks ago about electric drivers. There's a load of they drive electric car drivers, and that I was trying to pull onto a dual carriageway, and a electric car driver pulled up alongside and decided to try and enter the motorway at the same time on a single lane as me. And someone, you're a clown, by the way, whoever you are listening.
Robin. I remember the name. He had a
whatever you are. You DM'd Will, not me.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it was something along with, and it's not easy to roll me up, but. This one got me. It was along the lines of, hey, I drive an electric car, so I feel like I should be able to respond to this. Firstly, you weren't there, so why are you?
And he did say that a couple of times, so it's like he understood, but also still went in for this.
He was like,
there were a few brackets that said, also, I wasn't there, so I
wasn't there, so I don't know. So why?
Where are his claims coming from, Robin?
He basically said, okay, well, I actually think you're both in the wrong because he probably thought you were going to turn right across the motorway. I already made clear when I was explaining it, there was a central reservation. There is physically no way for you to go right onto the motorway. Secondly, he said, you probably pulled up and indicated right. Yeah, mate, I did because I was indicating onto a motorway. Do you get onto a slip road and indicate left when you get onto a motorway?
That's a crazy thing to do.
Are you silly? Thirdly, he said, well, you probably went onto the motorway at a straight angle. No, because I was getting onto the motorway. I was at a 45 degree angle going straight on. Why would I? What? I'm sorry, this is a personal rant, but to listen to that podcast, I listened back to it after you told me about that because I was like, did I not explain myself well enough? I listened back to it. I couldn't have explained it more clearly about how there's zero.
But you must have. You must have been.
I must have been in the wrong.
But most importantly, what's the guy's name?
Robin.
Robin, mate. When?
When did I ask?
When did I ask?
True.
But I absolutely. This is. You know what it is. There's this weird like thing of like I must protect. We're not all bad. I must protect. You made yourself look like more of a clown, and now I think all electric. Before it was just that one guy. Now guess what? I'm going to pit maneuver every electric car I see.
He spoke as if he was there.
Yeah. Oh, I saw you, mate. We, you know, when you pulled on there.
Perhaps he is a Robin.
Maybe he was the guy in the e-tron.
That's true.
Perhaps it was him. Perhaps it was Robin all along.
And he was trying to make an excuse for why he did what he did.
He's like,
what if that guy actually thought you were doing this?
I wasn't there, but if I was, and I was indicating about...
I reckon he thought this.
Robin, mate, L for you.
Speaking of motorways...
So that's my rant of the week done. Will, you're rant of the week.
Never prepare yourself because Will has been on about this all day.
How,
and it's going to carry
I won't
on.
Swear. How the flip? How do you crash on a motorway?
It's fair.
Now,
it's a great point.
I'm well aware this will come back to me at some point. I will crash on a motorway. Someone will crash into me on a motorway. Actually, if someone crashes into me, I don't count that. I will crash on a motorway and everyone will go, how do you crash on a motorway? How do you crash on a motorway?
Yeah.
It's literally... How big of a bend? How much do you move a steering wheel on a motorway? You move it a little bit like that and a little bit like
that. That corner snuck up on
not
me.
Not much at all. Yeah, you can see everything, you know, way ahead. Even if it's foggy,
you know what?
You can still see enough.
You know what catches me out when I'm on the M40 and you know there's that hairpin that you you're doing 70 and all of a sudden it's one left into a, Titans, don't cut.
Yeah, there's a jump.
Like, yeah, you're like, whoa!
The pedestrians come out.
That straight road came out of nowhere.
But whenever I see a crash, on the motorway, all I can, and again, it might be fatal, and some people might say, my nan died in a crash on the motorway. I'm very, very sorry about that, but what was she doing? Why is she crashing? It's the straight, it's potentially the safest bit of road.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's not just, you know, getting on and off a motorway is very, very simple and very, very easy.
Although,
people can't come in through the middle of it. No one's going to come across the other side of it. You are either drunk.
Yeah. Or not paying attention.
Or
you're on your phone.
Or an idiot.
Yeah.
Or all three.
Although I have to say, one of my biggest pet peeves in this world, and I've realized this over the last few months, is people merging onto motorways. You are entering a road that is going 70 miles an hour.
And more than likely, probably 80.
Why are you doing 40?
Yeah, that's
why
insane.
Are you doing 40 and then go, everyone's going faster than me. Yes, brother. Everyone's doing 70. Match the speed and you'll just go in there. It's so much easier.
I just don't get it. Also, so that delayed me by 25 minutes this morning.
I
pulled up alongside the crash and I spat at the guy in the car.
Right.
I pulled up alongside and there was a Tesla and a van. How are you crashing a Tesla?
Yeah.
Teslas don't let you
it
crash.
It stops you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read at 9:07 this morning. Some words will have to be redacted.
Yes.
Some has crashed on the M40. So my current ETA now is 9:45. And then he messaged 7 minutes later, this is now standstill. So for... And then that's all I could read for the message.
But it was like, okay, it's moving a little bit. And then, you know, you can see it on like Waze or Google Maps and it goes red.
Yeah.
I was like, right, whatever. So many lanes. And we lost a light.
Hold on.
Oh, well. He's plugged in. Why is he gone?
No, Ben, if you push on his...
Listeners, we've lost a light.
Whilst I fix a light, Will can rant about least favourite thing. Fog warnings.
Fog warnings?
Actually.
Fog warnings.
Actually fair. You know what?
If you need a reminder that there is fog.
Yeah. I was driving to the unit last week and there was a load of fog.
Yeah.
And there was...
Did you see it?
Like, there was seven different fog warnings in the space of half a mile. I know.
Also, even worse than that, because the signs are bad because they're run by some clown in an office somewhere or whatever. But then the people who are on Waze going... So they're using their...
That's what I mean.
And they've got their phone there and they go, oh, I must let everyone else know.
I need to let everyone know. Guys, I don't know if you've seen...
Fog.
My eyes are quite good, so I can see it in the distance.
And then your phone goes, ding, fog. I'm in the fog. I am the fog.
There is fog, I know.
Stupid. Also, fog lights.
What people
it's ridiculous. Them. You don't need it.
Yeah.
That might be unsafe. And goes, oh, actually, I was safe from an incident where someone braking distance was 37 feet longer because their brake lights were on. Fog lights, whatever. Never has a fog light helped me.
Yeah. I'll still put them on though. If there is fog, if there's mad fog, I'll stick them on.
I've never put a fog light on.
I'll throw them on every now and then.
A rear fog light, nothing. Also, if you leave that fog light on, there are people, I believe, and this is getting even beyond fog lights.
He's back.
There's no fog.
Do you mean Alan Partridge?
Yeah, there's no fog.
There's no fog. But your fog lights are on.
There are people this is how I believe they get in their car. They get in the car, no matter the weather, no matter the time of the day. This is the peak of daylight in a day. And they get in their car and they go, right, start the engine. What's next? Don't bother with mirrors. Yeah, won't bother with that. Rearview mirror, don't bother with that.
No.
Turn all the lights on. All the fog lights
Fogs
on.
Are on.
I
need to be seen.
Front and rear, despite the fact that it is clear today,
yeah.
I will have my fog light on.
With
those
fog.
People, I would happily see them wiped out.
God, we're on it today with the rap.
Motorways are honestly one of the worst places on
Earth. We're here, middle lane hoggers.
Now, yep. See,
I actually, there are a few things in the world that make me, you know, when you're about to, like, someone gets you really angry and you're about to kick off.
Yeah.
And you feel in your stomach rage.
Yeah.
I have that.
Do you ever look at them?
Yes.
I go past them. Also, more aggressive driver, but that is when when it comes middle lane hoggers, I'm.
So I saw you on a friend's birthday party in London on Saturday and we both drove into London.
Yeah.
And the first thing I said when I saw you was, oh, I'm going to kill everyone on the road.
It's ridiculous.
And as a test on the way home, so I was driving into London. And there was a stretch where I could see up ahead, it's a four lane part on the M4, on the motorway, where there wasn't a single person in the far left lane, the lane you're supposed to drive in, for about 2.5 miles I could see ahead.
Yeah.
So I did a test. I pulled into the far left lane, put my cruise control on 70, and I swear on anything, it was set at exactly 70 on Waze, and I counted how many cars I undertook. Which I technically didn't, because I'm moving at the flow of traffic.
You did a crime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You did a crime.
No, but I was at 70 at the speed limit in the lane I'm supposed to be in, and I passed 47 cars. That's not a joke. Because I got my girlfriend counting as well, double checking with me. We both came to 47 cars before I came up on another car I had to overtake.
The annoying thing is, it's very, very simple.
Just go back.
If you are not overtaking, you move as far left as you can. And again, there are little caveats to that. It's like if there is a junction coming up and you can see a lot of, if there is a slip road coming up and you can see lots of people coming on, you're well in your rights to move into that middle lane because people are going to be going into that slow
Absolutely.
Lane. But people do not have
8 seconds is what
logic.
I was taught when I was doing my drive, maybe driving instructors, if you're listening, not the one that sold us the Porsche. You're never getting your sunglasses back. But anyone else who's a driving instructor, I believe 8 seconds. If you believe 8 seconds is what it will take to get to the next car, you may stay in the middle lane.
Mm.
If it's less than that, if you're going to go past that car in less than 8 seconds, stay in the middle lane. If you can move back in and stay from 8 to 10 seconds, you go back into your left lane and move out again.
It's logic, and it's what people don't seem to have. I drive past middle lane hoggers, and you look at them and you can see, and some of these people, they might be brain surgeons.
Yeah,
I don't know. But they are nothing behind the eyes. Mirrors mean nothing. Their car's probably bonging away saying, what the fucking hell are you doing? Move. And they're just going, I'll just put the fog light on.
It's lovely and quiet on the motorway today. Meanwhile, a trail of 7,000 cars behind them.
And that proves to me people do not use the mirrors.
Yeah. The worst thing about it is it teases you to be a bad driver.
Absolutely.
It teases you to go, well, I'm just going to go on the inside then.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't do. Because if they pull in, they're going to hit you. Yeah. And you're going to be found at fault.
Mm.
If someone pulls in on you and you're undertaking them, that's your fault. That's why you don't undertake.
I'm a big fan of undertaking.
But to do it, but whenever I see them, I'm like, I'm in the left lane. I'm not going three lanes around you and back in.
Also, if they're going slow, I have it a lot when people, you're in the outside lane and they've overtaken someone, fine. But then they just sit there.
Yeah.
And then that makes it like, okay, well now I'm going quicker than you. So I have to now get right up your ass. And then you're going to cause a crash if you suddenly, and then nice. And then, yeah, but then that, what do you know what I mean? Then you end up tailgating them accidentally because you're going quicker than
The worst one.
Dangerous.
I'll say it. Everyone listening already knows it. It's already waiting. Then you come up behind someone, they move over, you go past them, and they then move back into the lane that they were in.
I've seen that a few times.
It makes me want to go pull over into the hard shoulder, wait till they come past me, and then just stay behind them for 7 years.
And then punch them to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it multiple times. If you know, you come onto a motorway and it's relatively dead, there's not much behind you, there's not much ahead of you. I remember coming onto a motorway, it's probably some old Jazz or some other shit car.
Wow. out at every Jazz owner's neck today.
And she's moved across. She's come onto the motorway, and like rather than just staying in the left lane because there was absolutely zero reason, she's not overtaking anything. There's no one else in front of her or behind her.
Yeah.
She immediately, and this is this would have been like, I think it was the M25 or something, so it was like four lanes.
Couple lanes, yeah.
Or whatever. So she's immediately moved from where she was merging into the lane just next to the fast lane.
Nice.
For no reason at all.
That's her lane, though.
For no reason at all. Like there was no. Why do I need to be in that lane? It was just, I have to, because I'm on the motorway, I must get into a lane over there.
Yeah.
Because I'm
not getting off.
Yeah.
I'm not nearly getting off, so I don't need to be on the second lane.
Mm.
I should be with the gang in the fast.
I think I'm over there.
Yeah.
Because that's where
I'm silver.
That's where I've been previously.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And things went well for me there.
Also, if you're nervous, stay in the slow lane.
Yeah.
Things will go much. If people go, I'm nervous, and someone tailgates you, move.
Yeah.
Things will go much, much nicer for you if you just stay in the lane. Do you know what? Just pull over onto the hard shoulder, have a wee and a lunch, and just stay there.
Also, here's another top tip. If you're scared, get onto the motorway, break down, have the AA truck pick you up and drive you on the motorway bit.
Or just don't get in the car.
I got one. Sorry, this is off topic again. P-plates.
I hate that.
Here's my opinion on P-plates, right? People are going to disagree with me on this one. Right, if you L-plates. Feel the need to have a P plate on your car, which is telling everyone, I'm scared of being on the road, you shouldn't be on the road.
I feel like it's parents more than usual. Like more than, like I would never.
Mm.
But
no,
I feel like it's
careful,
a parent being
though.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, you should have this on for the first while.
But what does it do?
No, nothing.
Yeah, it's like,
nothing
at all. It's like,
you know what, it makes me want to teach you a lesson more.
It makes me want to learn more.
But also, if you make a mistake, I'm going to be like.
At what point can I not have P?
LMNO be like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But also, like, when it means that everyone who is going to do like a little cheeky cut up or a maneuver is going to do it on you because they know they can get away with
it.
And you're not going to do, I just think if you have that little confidence, because it's all about confidence on the road, you've got to be like, nah, I'm defensive driving. Guys,
P is bad. That's your target on your back, and you're not growing.
No,
you're not doing well for
I don't believe in
just
it.
Just get in there and fight with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Speaking of P plates,
yeah.
Onto L plates. This is a story we've spoken about before. This is a very brief story. Yeah. But when I was learning to drive,
this is one of the most consistent jokes that makes us all laugh every time, and I hope it does you too. It's so simple.
I was learning to drive, which is many moves. I was like, that was 13 years ago. Jesus Christ, learning to drive. And I'd done a few lessons at this point, but I admit I could control a car, but I was a little bit nervous on the road because I was new. I pulled up to this junction. It's a little bit like your EV thing because it was like only one lane to pull on. But anyway, so there's one lane to pull onto this out onto this road, and it was taking me a while because I was being careful. I don't want to pull out. I'm in some slow learner's car, and just see this guy behind me getting a bit angry. Bear in mind, I'm in a fully stickered up learner car. Like big L's everywhere. Pulls up on the passenger side where my instructor is, puts the window down, and shouts at my instructor and says, "Teach him to drive." And my instructor kind of sheepishly just went, "I am." I've never felt so shit in all my life. I was so confused. I was like, you just shouted at a learner car. Teach him to drive.
So we were randomly just throughout shoots sometimes pull up to each other's car, ask them to roll down the window and go, "Oi, teach him to drive, would you?"
I am.
Crazy. Where'd you get your license? I don't have one. that's an L plate story.
That is probably the greatest tangent so far that we've been on.
That's very good. Yeah.
That was probably what 15 minutes worth of little side story before
we're half an hour.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough to see.
Also, it was the most old man conversation.
Yeah. Sorry if
bloody people.
People can't drive these days.
Anyway, onto more positive things.
Onto the news.
A little bit of news. We only recorded the last podcast possibly 3 days ago.
Yes.
So there's not been much news, but there is some news.
Well, we spoke about Jaguar before, and as of today, they have shown it.
They have, well, not actually.
Well,
yes.
They've shown what
it's
they're...
Been, as of right now, it's
where
leaked.
Where they're going.
It's only a leak right now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But so by the time the podcast goes out, it will be
by 9 o'clock tonight, it's actually being announced in Miami. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is what I saw. Where do you think they're revealing that car?
This Miami.
So annoying.
Yeah, but is it a car show?
Is it a private event?
It should be in the Cotswolds or something. You know, it should be
what
Jaguar.
What sort of event are they doing it at?
Ooh.
Is it Geneva?
It's
not Geneva. It's
is
Miami.
It a fashion show? In
it's Miami Art Week.
Ooh. Oh God!
So again, it will be revealed by the time the podcast goes live. I haven't looked any more into it because obviously we don't have any actual information. When it goes live, it'll be electric. Should we say that?
Yep. I think it is. That's
2027 is when
2027. So long to make.
Also, it looks awful and it makes me sad. It's just sad.
Do you know what? It isn't going to look like that. It's just not.
I think he'll have the. That's the thing, though. I always think that with concept cars is usually the concept car is as good as it will get.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. Like, that's with no holes barred what they can make.
Yeah.
Now imagine you bring some regulations in where it's, you can't have that. That's too sharp. This is too close to this. Move that. Put a number plate on it. The cars get worse.
Mm. That is a car I drew as a child. And then I've seen that drawing when I've grown up and gone, well, that just can't work as a car, can it?
No.
Because why is the bonnet so long? why is the bonnet there? Why is the windscreen? There's not enough room for occupants.
Also, why is the bonnet so long? It's an electric car.
Exactly. I don't understand.
Now, Jaguar, you could pull out a big Uno reverse.
Stick the 5 litre in it.
Go and get a 7 litre V12.
Yeah, from Cosworth.
Go and get a 7 litre V12 out of like an old fucking Le Mans race car, stick it in the front, and then
off we go.
Do that in the reveal, and they won't know. They'll probably reveal it at Coachella.
Do you know what, though? I was hoping so much that it was a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
And that,
to get
and
us that, going.
Now I've seen it. I mean, it may still be, but now I've seen it, I just feel sad.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Ben? Because we discussed it on the podcast, but what do you
I think it is.
I think you'd wear him like this.
I have to cut that.
No, you don't.
Nah, that's all right.
Yeah. That's Stephen A. Smith talking about whether a dog would wear trousers like this. I think it's pretentious, and I think it is
no. But the whole design change, logo change.
Well, okay, so something they're doing now isn't working clearly because they're not making any money. So I get that, but you're getting rid of all your heritage and all your customers who are not gonna who you know are not into that sort of style of stuff, and it has a whiff of fresh out of uni type.
Yeah,
your first design job.
I thought very soon. Only after the podcast is I discovered that they deleted all their old social media, and all I could think it's a teenager.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they've just had like a breakup or something, or some bad news. They're going, "What? I've got to delete all my social media, and I am going to Q8 for the next 6 months."
Yeah.
Do you know what it has done for me though? Aston Martin.
Oh, you're now they're up for you
for some Aston Martin. Never really done much for me. I've always liked them, and then the second Jaguar did that. I thought, Aston Martin's like a British brand.
Hello,
like,
mate.
Hello. But, hello. Come
mate.
On in.
Hello,
sit
mate.
Down.
You're
let's
a Mercedes,
have a
and but now, I still like you.
And now,
but Aston,
I'm weak for it.
Aston have managed to do, well, again, I don't know sales numbers. I don't know how well Aston does. No idea. But Aston have never really rebranded. But like at one point, they did feel a little bit old man.
Yeah.
I don't think they feel quite like that now. I don't know if it's because they have like, they still have a motorsport.
Yeah, that's true.
If Jaguar were in motorsport, maybe, again, maybe that's just to us, I don't know. But Aston don't have the same old man image as a Jag does.
I think it was that 2015, 16 refresh that they did.
Yeah.
Where like the V8 Vantage, now, if I look at a V8 Vantage from 2008, like Rory's generation, it's still got an air of like, we're suave, we're trying to be, you know, posh. Whereas the new one has got some anger to it.
Yeah.
It's got the AMG, which is kind of funny because it's kind of related now, but it's got that like, we're aggressive look.
Yeah.
Like either the new DBS, for instance, or the new Vanquish, sorry, thing that they're, that's an angry looking thing. It's still, it still looks smart and like elegant, but it's going for like, yo.
Not so much sweeping lines.
I'm not your granddad's
I'm
Aston.
Quiet.
Like that's the thing. If I see an old man in a DB9, that fits.
Yeah, it works.
Even you.
Yeah.
You fit. You're an XK man.
Yeah.
XK man isn't buying Astons now.
No.
He's moved up a bit. Mm. That's the thing I think they've kind of rebranded and done.
But
so that's...
It just, I don't know. In the past they have, I mean, I guess like technically they have done stuff that's like groundbreaking, but I just feel like they're pushing everything. Yeah, but I think they're just pushing everything to one side to try and be like edgy and like modern.
Again, I just think it comes down to make better cars. At the moment, they don't have a product that, like, again, like what was the last thing you remember Jag going out with that was like, ooh, that's
it's the F-Type. It's
the thing you hear, exactly, which is how old?
Which is,
10 years old, 15, whatever?
Probably coming up, what's 2010, 2011, 2012?
Is it?
Yeah, I think they're quite original. The early ones.
The facelift that looks worse than
that's an argument.
One of Ben's worst.
We can't, if we get into this can of worms, we won't end it.
That's our argument. We'll have one day.
That's like, that's the last time they did anything that anyone went,
ooh,
hello, mate.
It's like, okay, because the XK was a bit meh, not meh, but like it didn't do the same thing.
Yeah.
It was like, ooh, this is like E-type.
Mike Fernie, mate, you're here with us.
What kind of thing do you think Jaguar are going to come out with? He's an old Jaguar man.
He's a Jag man.
Anyway, that's our final word on Jag until they come out with something else bullshit.
see you next week.
Another new car has been released.
Was it the XYZ Bingle that you mentioned?
Do you know what? The Bingsco S.
The Bingsco S.
No, not quite yet. Apparently that's coming in 2037.
Sorry, please carry on.
Yeah. No, the Supra.
Yeah, final edition.
Is coming to an end.
After six people bought one.
I'd say quite a few.
Yeah, but still not enough.
Yeah,
not probably. Enough
so
to...
5 years that's done. That's
I maintain that it is one of my favourite cars I've ever driven.
Really?
Simply because it is made for doing skids. And it's not, but it has a B58, which is the BMW engine. And Lord, did that car slide easy.
Well, this is what I'm disappointed in. This is the final edition, apparently. Yep. There won't be another one of these. Manual only, 429 horsepower, B58 tuners laughing right now.
Yeah,
so that's, we get that out of a
That's
remap.
Just an email.
Yeah.
That's not even a pipe.
They say that is an intake.
Okay.
A new catalytic converter, which kind of sounds like a manufacturer speak for a decaf.
Yeah. It's got a new one.
And then further to add to that point, and reduced exhaust back pressure. Have they just gutted the cats?
Awesome. They just took it to a tuner and went, can you just do me a stage one?
Can you do me a 4.5-inch downpipe?
Yeah.
And an email. Yeah. And they went, yeah, no, no.
Yeah, of course you can, mate.
Yeah. Some chap from Japan emailed this morning. Said he wants us to remap about 1,000 cars.
Some dude in Birmingham. Yep.
But yeah, manual only.
See.
Which I find strange.
That is interesting because I'm a manual man. I like a manual. I drove the manual Supra and I drove the manual Supra for a few weeks. But I had the auto Supra. It's just an auto. It's a ZF8. The standard transmission.
The guy.
And I'd have the auto.
Yeah.
The manual wasn't that good. Didn't feel that good. And the auto one, just, he's doing skids.
He's doing it. And he's doing...
But it's like interesting. But I guess manual, you know, if they're trying to get that final few people, they'll want manual.
But what I'm disappointed is, I always thought there's always this rumor that the Supra eventually would use one of the BMW S, like the same engine you get in like an M4... or the new M2, and then you'd have a You'd have mega Supra.
A Supra. Yeah.
A GR or a GRN, yeah. Whatever. And not happening.
No. Sad.
So
get them while you can.
Yeah.
I will buy one of those one day. Yeah. When they're cheap.
The Mark IV's better though, because it can make
But that came
horsepower.
With 1,000 horsepower from the factory. Yeah.
Just a remap or something.
Just a remap. Yeah, you don't need. Yeah.
Yeah. What's a retail on one of those? Big news.
It's not a day.
A man called Tom Hartley.
Oh,
if
yes.
You don't know, he is a man who sells cars of value. Now, he was from a family of men who sell cars of value.
Now, his brother is Carl.
Yeah.
Also sells cars. And his dad.
He's called Tom.
Tom also sells cars.
He's Junior, this guy.
Tom Junior.
Tom Hartley Junior.
Yep.
Or Tom Junior.
Tom Hartley. Jones Junior.
Tom. His name's Tom. Thomas. So, Tom Hartley, he put out a video a few days ago saying, this is going to be the biggest reveal
in the
car world.
The biggest ever. News or the biggest news in cars ever.
Yeah.
And so obviously we're all talking about, we're like, is he buying Brunei cars? Mm. Is he buying, what's he buying?
Yeah.
What's
he buying? Some mad collection.
And the thing, I was thinking about this. So, and if you'd like to reveal what it was.
So what it is he's selling
Mr. Bernie Eccleston's,
the man who invented the Eccles cake. Bernie Eccleston is selling his F1 cars.
Yeah.
69 cars.
Now, if you were a motorsport man, I can see that would be probably the biggest news of all time, because I did have a quick look, and again, I don't know anything about F1 cars, but I could see some cars in there that are special.
And they're going to be big.
They're like the guys, the number one guys. So I get it, but also...
Don't lie to me. Also, biggest news in the car world, biggest news in the...
Motorsport world, maybe.
Yeah. Biggest news in the car world feels a bit... And it's not, because the thing is, it's not also not motorsport news. Motorsport news would be... Max Verstappen wins Formula One.
Multiple people? Hold on a second.
Say that again. That's pretty big news.
Hold on. We ain't never seen nothing like this before.
But yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be very expensive, but I was expecting...
All of the people who are really upset at us last week for being like, don't care about F1, don't care about sport. Hey, guess what? Time to get the comments going again this week.
If he said... I'm trying to think of a comparison. What I'd care about more.
A manual Enzo.
I'm converting.
With the engine of an F22.
I'm converting my Peugeot 206 HDI to petrol. I'd probably be slightly more excited.
Bernie, mate. That's an interesting one.
Also, he's 94.
Yeah.
What's he doing with all those F1 cars?
Also, what are you going to do with all the money? Huh?
Idiot.
Where's that?
What are you going to do? Buy F1?
Well, buy one McLaren F1. Car news, to be sure, one of the car news of all time.
Yeah, one of the biggest.
Not sure about it.
Yeah, when we see, I want to see a number. I want to see a big final number on that.
That's cool. That I would like, but knowing.
Maybe we could have a look. Maybe
we could buy one.
If you are Mr. Eccles Hartley Jr. and you would like a YouTube channel to do a walk around of all of the cars in the collection.
No, absolutely nothing.
Please get in
touch. So this one's an F1 car. I think the same for the next 90.
The next 68.
Oh, 69. 68. Also, great number.
Yeah, great. Classic Bernie.
Cool. That's a good bit of car news.
That's about it for news.
Okay.
Brunei.
Yeah. This podcast is actually being filmed before that last episode went out. So who knows what the comments are about.
True.
But I don't care. I'm doing it anyway.
They might say we hate this.
Yeah.
Don't ever talk about that again.
I'm talking
Hopefully
about
not
it.
Next week.
So I thought what we'd do, instead of just doing a general talk, maybe we just go into, I'll choose a car. We'll delve into some of the special ones. Mm. Now, there are no one-off ones this week, unless we get onto it. But I've chosen the Bugatti EB110s in the collection, mm-hmm. of which there are four. Oh,
nice.
Because of course there
Small
are four.
Small amount, really.
But what there are in Brunei, so there are four EB110s originally ordered. They are the SSs. So EB110s, the Bugatti. So this is the Bugatti before the Veyron that was built in the 90s. Ill-fated. Not many of them actually went out. There was 32, I believe, SSs total before they went bankrupt. The Brunei royal family bought the first three. There are rumors, I've never been able to corroborate this, that the SSs were built for Brunei as a... Yo, you want something even nicer? We'll give it to you. But even with that aside, so they bought four, a silver one, which is blue interior. That was the first ever SS chassis. A charcoal, like black sort of one, which was Jeffrey, the Sultan's brother's personal car, because it has black interior with red piping.
That's such a great name.
Jeffrey.
I would not think the man from Brunei would be called Jeff.
That's also a great James Bond title. The man from Brunei.
His name is Jeff.
But the interior black with red piping. And the funny thing about the photo of that is that on the passenger seat for the interior photo, it's just a turbo. It's just a big old turbo sitting on the seat from clearly where service was done or something where it was replaced. So there is just a honking turbo sat in the that is the only EB110 that has parts stored in it in the world. Yeah. Just a turbo sitting in the front footwell.
I'll do that build later.
Yeah, you know, just gonna stick a GT25 in it. So there's silver, charcoal, yellow, which was in the yellow room. And then there's the one that you've seen recently that you showed me a photo the other day. This is why I thought I'd do it, which is black and then has a child's Crayola spilt all over
yes.
it. Green, which are the Brunei official colors. Mm. That's why those colors are in. But then the interior, he's red. He, you know what? He's Joseph's Technicolor dream coat on the inside. He's red steering wheel. Well, I don't know, but he's green on elephant. Bits. He's blue. He's yellow. He's red all over the inside. There was a couple of cars like that. McLaren F1 LMs were like that, where they were done with custom liveries. But yeah, that EB110. So silver, red, and silver, yellow, and charcoal were chassis 1, 2, and 3. And then I think number 13 is that weird one. But all of them, apart from the silver one, are still in Brunei. Early 2000s, silver one came over here, got sold.
I don't know what they're doing.
They're just sitting.
What are you doing with them?
They're just sitting.
Jeff, mate.
But the black one, I didn't mention this last week, the black one with all the weird stripes is stored in a place called the glass room, or the glass house, which is above all of the garages, is a special room with glass sides, which is their favorite cars.
A greenhouse.
Literally a greenhouse. Yeah. And all really special stuff gets put in there. Bounce. So a Dower 962, a 190E DTM, an old Merc DTM car, F1 GTR, Mr. EB110 himself, an XJR15, lots of really special stuff. Mm. But they have just been sitting in that room, under lock and key. No one goes in for many years now.
That's why I just find it mental.
Yeah, just sitting.
Just get out there and drive them.
So,
Jeff,
nothing special this week. We'll go through one of the one-offs next week, but I just thought, because you showed me that photo, I was like, we'll pull that up. Jamie, pull that up, if you will.
What's weird is that so lots of them are quite nice spec.
Some of them really cool spec.
Some of them are just utter dross.
Yeah, because it was usually most of the family members who are like, imagine, it's the equivalent of us going to the shop, where I go, I want to run down to the shop and get a Pepsi, and I go to you, do you want a drink? And you go, hey, you know what, surprise me. Or you go, you know what, I'm going to have something weird, give me an Iron Brew. It's the equivalent. They go ordering a couple of F1s from McLaren to one of the princesses who's maybe 15. What spec would you have? And of course, if you ask a child or someone who doesn't know much about cars, they'll go, and they don't have to pay for it. Like, give me something weird.
Just badly. I mean,
give me something random.
Like, you know, hi, mate, what do you want from Wenzel's? They're going to get a hot baguette. It's have cheese and pepperoni. Could you also put gunpowder in it and perhaps some lead?
Yeah,
as well, and then chop both the ends off, and then throw the wall,
and then don't eat it.
Yeah, and then we'll have 10 of those.
Yeah, while you're at it.
So I can't wrap my head around it. I really can't.
Brunei car of the week. We'll do something a bit more special next.
Not a Brunei car, but something I saw on Instagram. Also, not news, but just kind of cool. That W10, the E39 M5.
Yeah. So do you want to explain the story?
So I saw this on Instagram. I genuinely thought it was some like
a hoax,
fake Instagram story thing. It's like, have you seen this car? And it's just an AI thing. It was a Volkswagen thing. It was like a legit
decided, let's get a V10 or W10 going.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything. They didn't have any car, or Volkswagen didn't have anything they could put it in at the time. So they put it in an E39 M5.
Yeah,
I like stories like that because I don't think it would happen now.
No,
I don't think you'd see Volkswagen going. Well, Volkswagen wouldn't do that anyway because they're boring.
I believe, I can't remember what it was for. My brain wanna says Phaeton, but I don't think it was. It was, they needed something that shared a similar sort of wheelbase to the thing they were designing, which in my head is a Phaeton, might not be, to test the platform on. So they built the engine and put it in there, and it had some, I think it was it 5 litre?
I believe so.
Yeah, and it was supposedly 500 horsepower.
Yeah, I think there's a little sticker on the bonnet that says like 450 to 500 or something like that.
But this is the mad thing. Usually a car like that, prototype gets chucked in the bin, crushed, hidden from eyes because they don't want anyone to know that they're doing this. Mercedes did a similar thing in the 90s when they wanted to go into Le Mans. They bought a McLaren F1 because it was doing so well, took the engine out, put their engine in, designed all the aero because the car was doing so well. And then without anyone knowing, they then swapped it all back to factory and stuck it in an auction. Mm. That's chassis 11R. If you want to look that up, it's quite an interesting story. Usually they get rid of it. But the car, supposedly the car exists and is driving and works.
He used to drive it.
Yeah. But the new guy who's in Sweden, I think in a Nordic country, it exists and they drive it around. But I want to see a video of this. Yeah. I want to hear a noise.
Oh, yeah, because what, W10?
That would be...
I'm assuming that's two VR5s, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Mate it, yeah.
So it'll be, that's an interesting noise.
Which already, a VR5 is a good...
Viper-esque.
Yeah.
Rather, it wouldn't be like high-pitched.
Yeah.
You know, but that would be an interesting noise. So it's when you look at the actual picture of the engine, strange.
It's cool. It looks cool. Very, it's got a little strange. Carbon inlet on it, carbon inlay on the spark plug covers.
And the fact that it's in an ether. Again, it looks like some mad tuning house from the early 2000s.
It's just...
But it's not. It's just Volkswagen.
Volkswagen being Volkswagen.
You know what? We need to test
this. First E39 M5 with a check engine like crazy. That's the rest of our news.
Yep.
Should we move on to the forum?
I think so.
Forum first, although it's a big point of, not contention, but everyone likes to comment about it. What game we have, game of the week. I brought in Toka Race Driver, an absolute Hall of Fame game, whether you play 1, 2, or 3. But the disc didn't work. So my only backup that I had laying around was SSX, which is not car related, unless you consider a snowboard. How can we consider a snowboard a car?
It moves over a surface,
and that's good enough for me because it's a great game. So sorry, next week there'll be something car related again.
Yeah. Also, things that people probably younger than Ben won't understand is putting a game in and it not working.
Mm.
Not going. Why can't I just download?
Why is my download not working?
Yeah, was my internet speed so low? I've been kicked from Fortnite for no actual pain.
Right, Ben, the forum.
Hello.
Can we please?
Oh, Ben, you can't. Ben can't reach the forum. Could you do a live one, please? You can't reach the button, so can you?
The forum.
Very nice.
Didn't realize that
Ben's American. Actually, very similar to what I did into my laptop microphone to make the actual sound.
There you go.
Interesting.
Leaked.
Right, the forum.
Also, I should mention, if you're watching, we're both in our Christmas jumpers.
We are.
Again, you may still go out and, well, maybe it's too late now. If it's not, go and buy a Christmas jumper.
Just get one anyway and you can have it for next
year. Topbedc.com.
Christmas jumpers don't go out of date. That's the correct.
I got it, finally.
We also sell gloves. And
we do.
We have masking tape with Top Dead Center on it. And if you wait very patiently and very nicely, Santa will bring you some new designs to the shop.
You will have to pay. And if anybody would like to swap a working Porsche 911 gearbox for some merch, hit me up.
Yeah.
The forum.
Here we go, Ben.
Go. This is asked by, this is a comment actually that's from a YouTube video.
Really?
This is from Marjay1980.
Okay. Yo, what up?
He or she is
45 years old.
45.
Love
question
it.
For the forum. You guys are some of the most obsessed with cars I've ever encountered. How do you feel about motorcycles?
Ooh.
I love cars, but I'm not as obsessed as you guys are, but I am obsessed about bikes.
He's obsessed by bikes. Now, at his age, he's old enough to know better.
Yeah.
Bikes, I don't hate bikes. I don't have a big enough interest in bikes to really look into it. I think I would like bikes. Part of me doesn't want to get into bikes because I feel like I'd die quite quickly.
You're a man of speed. You like going fast. So bikes probably would. You'd probably get one bike and be like, I've found my thing now. I'm in. I don't care for them. I don't dislike them. Alex has a 749 next door, Ducati.
Mm.
Don't know the names. That's a good looking bike. If I was a mega millionaire and I'd bought every car I wanted, I would buy a bike simply to look at.
Yeah.
Because I do think they look cool. They're a cool looking thing. But I have zero interest in riding them. When I used to live abroad, I learned to ride a bike. I rode a Paris-Dakar bike. Mm. What do you call it? Enduro? No. There's a name.
A dirt bike.
He's like a big boy. He's heavy. He's very heavy.
Oh, like a Metcalf spec.
Exactly. Cross-country style bike. It was a Kajiva Elephant.
That sounds like a GTA bike.
Yeah, no, that is a real bike. I learned to ride on one of those. I was like, yeah, cool. But then I found. Then I got access to a quad bike and went, I can drift this. I'm on board with this. And I never drove a bike again.
Yeah.
they just don't, they do nothing for me.
I went down the path of bikes. I grew up with a BMX, loving my BMX, thinking I probably would end up on bikes. You know what it is? I didn't like the idea of the moped stage.
You know, yeah, fair. But you know what it is? BMX, I feel like that's the biggest gateway into cars.
Do you think?
Yeah, Matt Armstrong, Boca. Like lots of people who are into BMX graduated to cars.
If you can fix a BMX, you can fix a 2009 Audi RS6 V10 twin turbo. No.
And if you can fix one of those, you can fix an MX
Apache
class.
Gun shop.
Yeah.
Gun shop. Gunship. But yeah, my dad's into bikes. His dad, my granddad was on the BBC program Trauma.
Because of bikes?
Because of a bike accident. Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. There's a reason enough not to ride a bike. again, we're talking about car drivers earlier. That's the other worry on a bike is...
Oh, idiots.
Is that idiots and cars are bad enough when you're in a car, but when you are strapped to a death trap, then it gets much worse. But I think one day I might have like a 5-year stretch on bikes.
Like doing a prison sentence.
Yeah, I might do bikes.
I'm 5 years clean now.
I might do bikes for a while. Like some of them are very cool. Do you know what the thing is? I'm sound oriented on cars. If something doesn't sound good, I really, really struggle with it. And I think, and bike people are going to go, oh, my V3 twin cycle twin power sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think they have the variety
they
in
don't.
Noise.
They don't.
And again, maybe that's because I haven't been exposed to it. Bike people might look at cars and go, all V8s sound the same.
Yeah, fair.
Or all whatever, which it's not true.
They don't.
And all bikes might not sound the same, but all bikes sound the same.
There's very few bikes I've ever heard that I've gone, ooh.
Three-cylinder bikes, I think? They sound quite good.
But then when they get up to the RPM, especially when they're going past you, it is just bike.
Yeah.
Bike, bike. Oh my God, I love Civics. Okay, forum question answered. Sorry. Probably bike content.
Maybe,
not happening anytime
maybe
soon.
Maybe one day. Liked it in TDU.
Hated it in TDU. No. Any game
really?
That had bikes, whack.
Also, another reason I don't like bikes, I downloaded Ride 5, which is like Gran Turismo for bikes or Forza for bikes.
I thought that was a tourist trophy.
That was old though.
Oh, okay.
Ride is like new guy. I downloaded it and I don't know how to do it.
You can't.
Why am I turning before the corner?
Why are you leaning?
I got to the corner, turned, and the guy just fell off.
I fell out once.
Yeah. Also, bikes quite clever now. They've got like traction control and wheelie stuff.
Crazy.
But again, no, I just don't care.
Ben, we have another, or is that it?
Ben, are you a bike man?
No, I think, I know nothing about bikes. Also, they don't do anything for me. I think they're just loud. And I often find myself, whenever one goes past me, I'm trying to talk. It just overwhelms the situation.
You are an old
woman,
though.
You know what it is? Yeah. I feel like bikes to me is what normal people must feel like to modify cars.
Yeah.
Where it's just a nuisance.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah.
You know, they say like,
go away.
We make it that loud so you know where we are. It's a bit over the top.
Yeah. Also,
you know what? A horn would suffice.
Also, fast bikes and like off-road bikes, cool. Harley Davidson type thing.
Yeah,
zero point or interest. Ooh.
Huge L. That's if you drive a ride.
The trike.
I saw a guy on a trike and it'll be some guy who's probably from Solihull called Dave and his wife looks like, I don't know, she's trying to look like some pin-up model from the 50s, but she actually looks like a bag of spuds. and you see these people and they go back to this to their house, which is just a normal British house, and they park their stupid American thing outside. Mm. And they probably drive a Crossfire as well.
Mm.
There is a community
Crossfire,
of these people
that's a nice... But PT Cruiser.
PT Cruiser, yeah.
Get the kids around.
Out in the Cruiser, and then weekends are out on the trike with the trollop on the bank.
Crazy.
Absolute whoppers.
God, this has been a negative podcast.
We're losing viewership this week.
We're just angry today for some reason.
We're going to distill it down until it is just... There's like four viewers and it's all the people that have the exact same interest as us.
It's just our families.
No, our families aren't watching this.
No, they're not.
Okay. Well, that leads us quite nicely into our final section of the podcast, which is where Will and I like to have an argument. We tend to argue a lot and we didn't have an argument before this podcast. And as we were sat on the sofa and Ben was setting up the camera, one presented itself quite nicely because Will believes there is never a good car chase in a movie.
Sorry. Oh, hang on.
Oh, hold on.
That's quite literally what you said.
Because you did. Ben, you said there were none.
Get that sock out.
You said none.
No, I didn't say none. I said 99% of movies.
No, that wasn't.
No, it isn't, because I have clearly said.
You changed it afterwards.
When I discussed with Rory.
After.
No, I didn't after. I said in most cases, car chases are generally whack.
No, before that.
No, because I know, because I know I wouldn't say that.
Your beginning statement was, car chases in movies are whack. That was your statement.
99% of the time, because I can name
Ben. Good with us.
You did say that, but this came about because we're talking about James Bond, and we're talking about, I watched Casino Royale on the weekend, and I was saying that the chase of the Aston Martin DBS is not long enough. He goes around like two corners, stops, that's it. And you said, yeah, well, it's your car chase strategy really bad. I want to watch them play poker instead.
Ooh, hey, this is an argument between us, but Ben's in. Ben's coming in.
Hey, look at this
guy.
How
are car chases bad? They're sick.
I know, again, not all are bad.
Okay.
But most of them, they are shoehorned into an action movie. Stephen goes, oh, look at that. He's driving that car again and he's going well fast. And he's
okay.
Also, sorry, Quantum of Solace, getting on James Bond, he's being chased by 159s. There isn't a 159 on this planet Earth that is going to keep up with what is apparently a secret agent.
Okay.
Also, men hanging out with, again, I'm taking it
but
too
then
far.
Is
it's a movie.
Is Need for Speed never good? Because there's Crown Vicks keeping up with Veyrons. Is that not?
That's a game. That's different. Not
why
the same.
Is it a movie? It's not real.
The same.
It's a movie. It's not real.
It's not the same. That's
why
the
is
game.
It not? Why?
Otherwise, it would be boring, wouldn't it?
Just like a movie would be boring.
Yeah, it would be better if you took the car chase out.
Crazy. So Ronin, you've never watched. You've
glossed
never...
over the car chase, bit of voiceover.
Ronin?
That's all right. But that's what I mean. There
are
a few.
Are you joking me?
Why is
that's
it good?
All right. Because they just use the sounds of the cars. There's no bullshit over the top of it. There is the sound of inline 6M5 noise.
Oh, cool. I was on car YouTube.
Doesn't matter. It sounds great. And it feels real.
Okay.
There's no like Michael Bay cars splitting into a million pieces, then reforming and turning into
That's
a Megatron.
What I mean. That's what I mean. But like I said, they're not all bad. There's a good one.
If you didn't say that first.
I did say that because I know there are good
first.
Ones.
You, at
there
first are you good said ones. Car chases
like,
are whack.
So wait, like Fast and Furious, you're like...
Fast and Furious, they are all garbage.
But what you want to watch people talk about cars? What's the cream podcast
no,
on
okay.
YouTube like that?
This is a different argument. And again, almost all car movies are whack as well.
Now that I agree
almost
with.
All.
Now
there,
that
there
I
are maybe,
agree.
Maybe three.
So that's going to be Ford versus Ferrari.
And I would recommend, the first three Fast and Furiouses are dreadful films.
Absolutely.
With appalling acting, awful storylines, but they're also quite cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
They're a little bit
they
fun.
Have some cool cars.
Yeah.
And it's fun. So, okay, your three car movies that you like, Ford versus Ferrari.
Ford versus Ferrari, I'll definitely put in there.
Fair. I'm not a motorsport person. That's a great movie.
I think Rush is good.
I thought you were going to say Rush, but I don't know what your third's going to be.
Need for Speed with Aaron Paul.
Oh, what a great movie.
It is a great film.
Movie like that. No, that is dross.
Ben, stop speaking, brother.
It's not a good film. It's like Fast and Furious. It's not a good film, but it's enjoyable.
Do you know what the worst thing about that movie was? Where they ring up, he's doing donuts around like some city, and they ring up Rami Malek in an office block and go, I need you to go to the window. And he walks over to the window and he goes, look at the rear left damper as he goes around this corner. Tell me what's going on. And he goes, it's biting too much as it goes in at the right. I'll be down there now. And then runs down. Are you dumb? Are you crazy?
That's great content.
Actually, it's not, I wouldn't put it in the top three at all, but I watched Gran Turismo. It's not that bad. I was expecting that to be appalling.
Wait. But
Gran Turismo is an okay, it's just...
Is a race a car chase, technically? Because they're chasing each other.
But again, like even then, like the scenes in that, I don't think you can ever convey it on screen. I think it is too difficult to convey on screen how...
That's why Ronin is good.
Ford versus Ferrari is quite good at it. But again, you've got the infinite gear shift.
Taxi.
Mod.
All taxis. Oh, there's some good car chases in that.
Never seen it.
Oh man.
Never seen
they're
it.
They're so good. They're bad, but the car chases are good.
Yeah. James Bond.
Bond chasers are some of the best.
There's a good one in the Bourne films. That's good.
What's the James
Bond? Which one's the Bourne films?
It's the first Bourne film.
What were they driving?
In an old Mini. Can't remember. It's in Europe.
We were talking the other day with Mike, the Mission Impossible one, where they're in the Boxster and the TT. And I think they both go, like they're careening down a mountain and they're like side by side. I feel like this is someone correct me if I'm wrong, but they both go like spinning sideways, connected to the doors are connected to each other, going like around and around and around up to a cliff edge. Bad.
That's what I don't know.
But what's the James Bond? Is it Spectre with the DB10 and the CX-75? That's cool.
I didn't enjoy that.
That's cool.
No, that was whack.
That was just okay. But again, do you know what that felt like? That whole section, it felt like an advert.
Yeah.
I get that, but also, but you can't buy a DB10.
No, but it just felt still like, yeah. It felt very polished and a very yeah. like, ooh, let me show off this thing and let me show off this thing.
Their car's going, brrr.
I like it when, the best time a car chase is when it's not made into a massive action sequence. It feels kind of realistic.
This is why I'm Ronan is the guy. That is the best car chase of all time. Because there's nothing cheesy. There's people crashing and stuff. Mm. And the ending is a bit cheesy, but it is literally an E34 M5 drifting around Paris being chased. It's great. There's also a Saxo VTR that gets crashed in it. Sad to see. It's
very sad.
It's tough to hear. Sad. Tough to see.
The most James Bond ones. Again, I get it. They are meant to be a little bit.
Yeah,
it's almost a little bit tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
it's a bit. Otherwise, the normal audience would go, "Well, this is just people driving around." But I still think you can make it
also
exciting
it's like,
without
it's,
having everything explode.
You hear it a lot from people that like guns. They're like, "I can't watch this movie because the MP5 actually sounds like a Makarov." if you're into it, you can.
A Call of Duty villain.
Yeah. Wait, what? I thought there was a gun called that.
Oh, man. There might be. There may well be. But he's also a COD 4 villain.
Great. If you know what you're doing with it, it's not meant for you.
Hmm.
It's meant for a wide audience.
Yeah.
So the sounds are wrong. The explosions are ridiculous. Someone shoots a fuel cap and the car blows up.
Yeah.
Like, it's not meant for car people. So if you're into cars, they lose their sheen.
Same as, I watched the Top Gun, the second, the new Top Gun. It's one of my favorite films ever. But again, I bet if you are big into planes, I think if you're big into planes, you probably still would appreciate it because there are certain parts of it that are like, ah, okay, this makes it seem very cool. But you'd probably look at it and go, actually, that fact is incorrect. He was actually at 9 Gs, not 75 Gs. And actually, that's an F-47 Scrongelcopter and he doesn't have that many bullets left. But yeah, I just think if there's a car chase in a movie, more than nine times out of 10, but less than 10, it's going to be dross.
Mm. You're just wrong, aren't you?
Yeah. All right. What's your best ever car?
No, hold on.
Best five, Ben.
Hold on. Before Ben answers that, while Ben can think about that for a second, would you prefer that a James Bond doesn't have a car chase in it?
No, just make it a bit more brief, a bit more real.
But so you would, so you still want car chases,
Okay,
but they're not good enough for you.
They're just not good enough.
So where this whole thing started with the Casino Royale thing? So that's a good car chase? Because that's a very quick
Casino Royale, right? It's very, very quick and I quite like it. Beginning because there is a relatively good purpose to it. Right?
That's fair.
It's not just, shit, I need to get in my Aston Martin and be chased by some baddies. Hopefully not baddies.
He's chasing the baddies.
Yeah, he's chasing the baddies. That's what I mean. But like, he's got to try and get after, blah, blah, blah. But he flips a DBS.
Yeah. Also, sorry.
How does that happen?
Yeah. Gets in the car.
He's on a flat bit of road. Also, he's at Moira.
Wait,
Moira.
No. He flips it because she's in the road, and then he has to swerve, and then he flips it.
And it flips. That's whole shit.
Yeah.
What at that speed?
That is absolutely zero where that happens.
Not.
That, I watched that behind the scenes of that. They have to put something. I think it's either on the road, or it's under the car.
It is, yeah.
To like flip the car up.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cars.
It's a pneumatic pole that is on one side of the car, and as it turns, they hit it. And I know this from Stuntman, the game that we have playing. As they hit it, it fires the pneumatic jack into the floor and flips the car over.
So it would just skid off, like just spin out.
He would have just understeered.
Yeah.
Also,
he would have just killed her.
Oh, okay.
Or he would have just avoided her, got out, and the movie would have ended.
But he'd already...
what's the buddy watching from his Range Rover? God damn it. He's saved her.
All I can think about in that car chase was, that I said this earlier, when he got in the car, he turned it on and he didn't even let it idle for 10 seconds.
Ben's too much of a car person. Bond is not going to go, this is time critical.
Yeah.
Also, I've just been, you know, having like defibrillators and shit going on. And then I need to let this warm up a bit.
Yeah. He gets in, he's like, looks out the window to someone looking, rod bearings.
Yeah.
Don't want those going on this.
Switching to map 3.
And then you spin a bearing like 100 meters in. And what would you do then? You can't save it then, can you?
Maybe it's James Bond though. Maybe he's got like...
Maybe he's got a block heater that's keeping the oil warm.
Exactly. Yeah, true. Yeah,
it's just constant. It's like a Formula One car.
Yeah, Q is no longer doing like spy pens and things. He's just working out reliability methods for Aston Martins.
Very quick one. Best James Bond car.
For me, it's The Vanquish.
Favorite. Okay.
Because it's my childhood. It is my childhood.
I hear that. Next. Ben.
Best car in a James Bond though.
also in Die Another Day, the like 335 in the bank and the Diablo that go out the plane at the end. That's and not, the beginning with the 903.
Oh, the beginning, yeah, sorry.
And the end. Yeah. And the end, they fall out the plane at the end.
Yeah. No, I thought you were talking about the chase with the...
Oh, no, no. But those, as a child, that I went back and watched Die Another Day over and over again. So I was like, cars, GT40 in the corner.
Was there a second Gen Vanquish in it at all? I can't remember.
Not that I can think of.
No, not that I think of. Because he had...
Because basically... Well, at DB5, he's the guy. He's the guy.
I'm going to say it.
I also believe
I'm going to say it. I don't care for DB5.
That's crazy.
That is an opinion.
I just don't care.
You have...
Again...
It's just an old Aston Martin.
Car chases. Bullshit. But in No Time to Die, we're surrounded by the mans.
Not seen it.
You're an idiot.
Tough for you, Ben.
This isn't a spoiler, to be fair.
Don't spoil it, because I'm watching...
Can I say this scene?
When he gets...
Is it a spoiler?
He's surrounded... No, it's like the beginning or middle.
Or the end.
Or the end.
Ooh, no, Ben, it's not a spoiler. Is it? But you know what's going to happen.
I don't.
But basically, you get to see... Like, he basically uses all of the DB5 gadgets.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't... Oh, I don't know.
I was like, do you know what? That's kind of cool. I looked at my girlfriend and she couldn't care less.
I liked it in Casino Royale, like, because it's just DB5. It's not got a stupid gun in it or anything. It's just cool.
Oh, the DB5.
Wow.
Also, I never knew if that guy was meant to be Goldfinger.
Oh, interesting. What?
There's the guy he takes that he moves a Range Rover for, I think it is, in the beginning, in that part of the film.
Oh, they purposely crash in the car.
He's a quite large, sort of ginger, slightly German chap. He's very Goldfinger.
Okay.
I've never looked that up, so I'm gonna search that.
What are some of the Daniel Craig Aston Martins?
So you've got
DBS was the first one.
Then just DB5.
DB5 is in.
Wasn't there a V8 Vantage at one point it's just shown, but he doesn't drive? Like 70s, 80s V8 Vantage?
Yes, it's definitely in there.
Yeah. That's it, basically. A Mondeo and a Ford KA.
There's a DB10.
There's a Mondeo. That's, peak James Bond car.
There's a DBS Superleggera, but it's not his.
Oh yeah, because was it the other guy gets it?
It was the woman who is now 007.
Yeah, that's it.
I can't think of the others.
Well, there's a DB10, but that's not.
No, I think he does. He pulls up to. I think he pulls up to.
Okay,
somewhere in London in the old. Is it an old? Is it a DBS?
A V8. DBS or V8 Vantage. The 70s, 80s gen.
Like that different. I think that's driven, but only very briefly.
Also, you know that there are some James Bond experts.
That was a 1977 Scrongle.
That was an X-Pack, you can tell because of the front lip.
Yeah, I don't care. I do care.
I care a lot.
I really care. I really quite care.
Do you know what would be cool? Of a Vantage V12 manual. That's James Bond car.
Do you know what? I think James Bond needs to be
He
needs to be up there.
He can't be the small guy.
Yeah. But that's big.
That's 006 vibes.
Yeah, he's the 5'9".
That's
Sean Bean.
That's Mr. Bean. That's Johnny English.
That's Johnny English.
What if he cut the cats out or took the bat box out? That's quite James Bond. Just loud.
Yeah. Well, no.
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 He would do it.
Johnny English did get a V16.
Johnny English got a DB7 with the plate OY02 USH. I don't know why I remember that. Probably because I watched it so much as a child, which is a V12 Vantage, which was Rowan Atkinson's personal DB7.
Really?
That's a cool fact.
See, again, Rowan Atkinson. He knows he likes his cars.
He knows his beans.
Rowan Atkinson for James Bond.
Great, I'm in.
It'd be crazy.
And then he had V16 Wraith? It was a coupe, wasn't it?
Wasn't it a drop head?
Oh no, I thought it was a ghost. Jamie, pull that up, please.
When there's a whistle.
Can we find out Johnny English V16 Rolls Royce which car it was? It was an actual development car that they let him use for the movie.
Also worth noting, someone is going to say, actually, that's not true either. James Bond was meant to drive an MGA.
Yeah.
But Aston shouldn't actually technically be his thing if Benters, you're going by the old books and what such.
A Rolls Royce 101 EX or 100.
No, well, that was the...
Sorry, so, 100 EX.
But there was another
one. A 9-litre V16.
Mm. Oh, but I thought there was...
But I'm fairly sure it's basically a Phantom drop head.
No, it is literally... from what I can see here, it is...
As a Phantom?
As a Phantom...
Coupe.
Yeah, Coupe. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't... Okay.
That's it. That's why I'm thinking it's a ghost in my head.
Phantom Coupe.
Yeah. Cool.
That's cool.
That's pretty neat. Matt, for movie cars, you know what? Next week we go into some movie cars, some favourite movie cars, because there are some
top
stellar movie cars.
Dreadful car chases.
We've also finished the argument, 30 seconds into the argument, and then talked about James Bond cars.
Well, not quite finished it. We kind of agreed this isn't going to get settled.
And then just moved on to talking.
Moved on to,
so what a great way to finish the Cream podcast. Yep. As ever, never get anything done.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for listening. We will be back hopefully next week. We are going to take a few weeks off during Christmas because we've got a lot of stuff still to film to make sure that there is still content going out on our YouTube channel, Top Dead Center. So you may miss us for a week or two over Christmas, but we promise we will be back.
You'll have something for Christmas.
Yeah, we'll do a little Christmas type episode.
Maybe after Christmas.
Thank you very much for listening. Let us know in the comments if it was rule or ruin for you this week. We'll hopefully see you next week. Bye.